The following is a King's Chapel, Alaska presentation with Pastor Daniel Bracken. Our passion's making disciples of Jesus Christ who fulfill God's call and help us be the personal, powerful, permeating church God's called us to be. For more information, visit kcalaska.com or find us on Facebook. Here's Pastor Daniel.
In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, one who is in the field, let not him turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life to preserve it, whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life will preserve it. Verse 34. I tell you, in that night, there will be two men, one in bed. One will be taken and the other left. Be two women will be grinding together. One will be taken, the other left. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. And they answered and said to him, Where, Lord? So he said to them, Wherever the body is, there will be eagles. Or another version says, Vultures were gathered together. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this Father's Day that we have. We ask, Lord, for your power to come upon us. If you have the freedom to pray in the Spirit, go ahead and do that right now. Lord, speak to us. Speak to us, we'll never be the same, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We do have notes for you. You say, what a warm Father's Day message, Pastor. I know. There are powerful prophetic words that are coming about. They're over even 2,600 years old, right out of the Bible, of course, that are amazing to me. Found in Ezekiel 36, 37, 38. I want to just read a few of these to you. Ezekiel 36, verse 24, For I will take you out of the nations, and I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back to your own land. Talking of the nation, the 10 tribes of Israel. Talking about Jews. And Ezekiel 37:21, And I will say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I will take the Israelites out of the nations where they have gone. I will gather them from around and bring them into their own land. I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel. Now, if you know history, biblical history, which of course is history, you'll know that Solomon blew it, and the nation of Israel was broken in two. You had the 10 tribes go to the north, and then the 2 tribes to the south. And, of course, Solomon passed, and eventually Assyria came. And they took the 10 tribes of the north, and they scattered them. They just mixed them all over. They're called the diaspora. Some call them the lost tribes of Israel. What is amazing to me is that even now, these verses of Scripture are coming about. There is a term that they called Aliyah. There is a return of Jews from all over the earth. And they're returning to Israel. There is a tribe of Manasseh they found in India. And on, they're discovering these people groups that have basically retained their faith or a mixture of it in different nations, and they're beginning to be gathered back to Israel. Come on, somebody say, wow. And what does it point to? It points to the fact that we're really in the last days. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, look, let me just say that even if it isn't the last days, it's your last day. I mean, you're going to only have one life to live. But all the signs that we see around us point to the fact the time, the history is coming to a close. You say, Pastor, when will history wrap up? And I'm in your notes now. When will history wrap up? I've got no idea. I don't know exactly. I don't have a clear picture of when that is. But in this text, Jesus gives us some understanding. And the reason I've selected this on Father's Day is because as men of God, and of course we're preaching to everybody, all of us are responsible, but as men, We need to be prepared. As people, we need to be prepared. And the question to you this morning is, are you prepared? Are you prepared for history to wrap up? Let's look at our text. Jesus addresses the Pharisees. And the kingdom of God, he says, basically the kingdom of God is present. Looking at verse 20. Now let me read from the NIV here. I read from the New King James. Verse 20 in the NIV says, once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Or the New King James says, comes with observation. It does not come with observation. Verse 21, nor will people say, here he is or there he is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. Or among you is really the right way to translate that. So Jesus, talking to the Pharisees, says, the kingdom is among you. The kingdom of God is present. You see, they were clueless to the fact that the anointed one, Jesus, the Messiah, Mashiach, the one who is prophesied would come, is there. They were clueless, really, of seeing him. They so wanted the conquering king to come, and he will come. That's the second coming. But Jesus came in his what's called his first advent, or his first coming, as a suffering servant. And he's basically saying, hey, the kingdom is among you. In other words, I am the king. I'm sitting right here. The kingdom of God is present. Everybody say, the kingdom of God is present. The kingdom of God is present. They were so busy attempting to observe the signs that they missed the kingdom of God. And I have known people that have been so wrapped up in all the prophetic fulfillment of Scripture that they have lost the reality that Jesus lives on the inside of them, and we've got something to do in this age, and His kingdom is present, at least in part, right now. We can be so wrapped up in the return of the Lord and when it's going to happen, you can miss out or forget or neglect the fact that He lives on the inside of you. And Jesus addresses the disciples in verse 22. And Jesus talks about the days of the Son of Man. Now, how many of you ever heard that expression, the Son of Man? Okay, most people have no clue of what that's referring to. The phrase, the Son of Man, was a familiar phrase. And what he was doing was Jesus was drawing reference to Daniel chapter 7. And you might want to look at there. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13. Here is this vision that Daniel has, and it reads, in my vision at night I looked, and there was before me one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days, was led into His presence. He's talking about the Messiah. And so when Jesus says, when Jesus refers to the Son of Man, He's really referring to Daniel 7. And in other places, Daniel 7 talks about this messianic figure. And it's precisely what the disciples believed that Jesus, this is precisely what they believed that Jesus was going to do, that He was going to come on clouds and He was going to begin to rule and reign. But most have neglected the fact of the suffering servant of Isaiah 53. And it would be worth writing down Isaiah 53 somewhere and going and looking that up at another time. I'll make reference to it a little bit later. Jesus wanted them to be, the disciples, not to be confused, for when Jesus returns, again, the whole world will see it. When Jesus comes back, the whole world will see His return. Now, I've heard this. I heard it said, well, you know why that is? We couldn't figure. I heard somebody say this. I think it's the biggest bunch of bunk. I heard somebody say, well, you know, now that we have all these smart devices and iPhones and iPads and androids and so on and so forth, that when Jesus comes, because of media and the World Wide Web and on and on and on, that you will actually be able to see when He's coming because of your smart device. Can I tell you something? Jesus, God, has no problem putting Himself on display for the entire earth all at the same time. It's not because we have a smartphone that we'll be able to see Him coming. Isn't that not funny? It's like the theologian that said, well, you know, the boy with the sack lunch and the feeding of the 5,000, he really had a whale. He had a whale, and when he brought the whale, that was enough food for everybody to eat. It was really a fish. You know, Jonah, was swallowed by a fish. Well, really, it was this large fish, really a whale that they brought. How many of you know that's not what happened? Okay. But he didn't want the disciples to be confused, for when the Jesus returns, the clouds would part from one end of the sky to the other, and the Lord would turn. And he's really making reference to. So he's saying the kingdom of God is present, he says to the Pharisees, but then he says also to his disciples that the kingdom of God is coming. You see, so both the kingdom of God is present, because how many of you got the king on the inside of you? Where the king is, so is his kingdom. Say that. Where the king is, so is his kingdom. The kingdom of God is the rule of God. But how many of you know that the fullness of the kingdom is not here now? All right. Well, now you know. And so there will be the return of the Lord, which is called the second coming of Christ. So there's the first and the second coming. Now, we live in these days between the two greatest events in all of history. When Jesus came the first time, and when He's come the second. And you and I live in this moment of delay in between the two. It might feel like delay. How many of you know God's timing's perfect? And so we live in this tension between the two. Now, when Jesus returns, people be engrossed on living life. If you look at verse 26, again, I'm going to read from the NIV here in my notes. Just as was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man, when people eating and drinking, marrying, given to marriage, up to the day when Noah entered the ark, the flood came and destroyed them all. You see, many think that they're referring to, that there'll be this great evil like is in Noah's day. Dude, let me just tell you. Oh, it refers to Lot and, of course, Sodom. Let me say that we already have that. We already have that. What he's referring to is that this people will be so caught up in their own life that they will not have an awareness of the time in which they live. As your pastor, I want to shake you just a little bit, all of you fathers. Be aware of the time that we live in. It is not a ho-hum time. It is not just, you know, just, oh, well, let's just serve the Lord casually. It's time to get on fire. It's time to be prepared. It's time to lead our families. It's time to lead the community. It really is time to seek the Lord. Are you prepared for His return? And Jesus' message here, as we look at Roman numeral 3, is live prepared. Live prepared. Be ready. Don't cling too tightly to the things of this world. You know, verse 31, it says, on that day, no one who is on the housetop with possessions inside will go down to get them. Likewise, no one is in the field to go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife, verse 32. Don't cling too tightly to the things of this world. Let me step away for a moment. Scott and Rachel, your son sent me a book. And it was, I think it's entitled Mourning for the Kingdom. I'm only halfway through it, but man, it has pierced my heart. Mourning for the Bridegroom is what it is. And what a book. And in reading that book, I came across something that might be obvious to you, and it was obvious to me, but you see, in this period of time between the first coming and the second coming, this time of delay, this waiting, there is such a deluge of the things of the world. There is such a baptism of filth that comes upon us. Just look, I don't know how you live your life. I hope you're living wholeheartedly for the Lord. In my family, we've set things up to have accountability, of course, but there's certain things that we just do not allow. A while ago, we turned off cable television. You say, well, the Lord's not telling me to do that. Good, you just do what the Lord tells you to. I'm not telling you not to watch TV. But for us, there was so much on there. I mean, it was just like commercials and everything. And even now when I go and I travel or I see TV for a little bit, it's like 10 times worse than when we turned it off. You know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago now. And you need to be tuned into the news and all of that. But there's this baptism of garbage that wants to come on you. And what it begins to do, if you're not sensitive, it begins to dull you. It begins to dull your spirit. It begins to cause you to be lukewarm. You begin to lose your fire and your zeal for the Lord. As I was reading this book, the author, Dana Chandler, I got that right? Something like that, Candler? All right. Referred to, when you give your heart to Jesus and you fall in love with the Lord, you might find yourself in the years not soon after losing or waning. You know what it is to wane? It's to drop in your affection for God. That church can become like a regular routine that you go. Some of you need to have a routine of going to church. Amen. Probably talking to the people online. Praise God. Nobody here. Amen. That it can become routine. That it can become just going through the motions. Now, I won't ask you to lift your hand if you've ever experienced that, but honestly for me, the way it was never that way for probably 15 plus years. And then I found, I used to say this. I've even said it recently. I just can't stand to hear the sound of my voice anymore. Because I speak a lot. Some of you ladies know what I'm talking about. All right, praise the Lord. Oh, that's not a blow. Come on. How many of you know women talk more than men? And when your husband's not listening, you can start to feel a drone in the sound of your voice. Wah, 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 wah. And so I found myself getting into this doldrums as a believer. Now, if you find yourself in the doldrums, that's a sailing term of when a vessel goes through a period of time or a body of water where there's no wind. If you find yourself in the doldrums, honey, brother, sister, you better do something about it, because that is the start of you beginning to lose your first love and turn towards the things of the world. You can start getting seduced. You can start by the things of the world. You can start getting seduced by things, stuff. Don't hold on to things too tightly. Let me say it this way. Whatever you possess, well, praise the Lord. If you can't give it away, you don't possess it. It possesses you. Don't be so concerned with your stuff. And the Apostle Paul talks about that 1 Corinthians 7. The second thing I see is dying to self, verse 33. Let me ask you something. Who sits on the throne of your life? Who's the Lord of your life? Come on, you've heard it before, but many, many times, said many times before. He's either Lord of all or not the Lord at all. Who sits on the throne of your life? Is it the unholy Trinity, me, myself, and I? Or is it the Lord? One of the ways you'll know that the Lord is sitting on, that He is sitting on the throne of your life is just, how many of you get a statement from your bank? Just go read through it. And if you don't see continual giving to the things of the Lord, there's something wrong. Hello? That went over like a lead balloon right there. Praise God. It's true. It's absolutely true. Examine yourself. Take a look at you've gone to die to self. Don't let self grip you. Somebody said, Pastor, what do you think is the greatest stronghold or the greatest idol in America? Self. Self is. Does your life revolve around yourself? It should revolve around Jesus. It really should revolve around the Lord. There are those who are believers and those who are unbelievers. And, you know, we really need to make an impact in the life of believers. But if we're so consumed with ourselves, it's very hard to do that. Which brings me to the third point. Don't let the closest of relationships keep you from the Lord. Verse 34, NIV again. I tell you that on that night, two people will be in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding together. One will be taken and the other left. What Jesus is saying is, He's making reference to two different kinds of relationships. Family, and work. Family and work. Those are really the closest relationships that you have. Don't let those relationships rob you of your relationship with the Lord. You know, here in Alaska, similar to Hawaii, in that we have people come to visit because it's a beautiful place. And it absolutely is a beautiful place, especially now in this heat wave we're in. It's a beautiful place, and we'll have people come and visit. I've not really heard about it here, but in Hawaii it used to happen all the time. People would come to visit, and then the families would not come to church that day. So they were visiting, and they decided to go do something like go to the beach, go enjoy Hawaii, but they would skip going to church. Could it be, let me ask you this question, could it be that your family's visiting you here in Alaska so that they can actually find out that somebody's actually committed to church? Could it be that they're coming to visit you so that when you come, they actually might come and get saved? Is that possible? I've lived long enough to see people lose out from the pressures of family and work. They lose out from the Lord. I've heard stories of people coming out of a strong Catholic background, but when they give their heart to Jesus, their family rejects them so strongly they no longer are allowed at meals. And then they've decided just to toss away their faith. We had somebody a number of years ago who got saved here. He was from South America, got saved here, got filled with the Holy Ghost here, returned to South America where he was from, and I believe it was Colombia, and began to watch online. Now, I don't know all that happened, but at that same time, from our churches in Chile, we were going to plant a work in Colombia at the very same time. And it seemed like God's divine fingerprint putting together this man who got saved here. He came on a motorcycle. Some of you remember the story. Came on a motorcycle. He hit a moose on his BMW in the middle of summer. Bad. That's bad. He pretty much ended up unscathed, but his motorcycle was wasted. He ended up buying a truck and driving it down to Florida and shipping the whole thing over to back to Colombia. And when he's down in Colombia, he's online, he's a part of our church services. And we began to talk about him and talk to him that we were planting a work in Colombia, that we were putting together a team. And I'll never forget it. It was like, he just began to crawfish away from me. Some of you know what that means. I mean, he just began to just like, I don't think so. You know, all of a sudden, this zeal and this desire for God, he began to back away. Now, I don't know what happened. Everybody say, we don't know what happened. But there is intense pressure in South America as a businessman to remain Catholic. And all of your relations, politically, socially, it's very, very entrenched Catholicism. And if you break away from that in that particular region, so I'm told, then basically you are cut off from that community. And so it could be, I don't know, but I suspect that that's what happened. Don't you ever let a work relationship, a family relationship, keep you from serving the Lord. Don't ever let it happen. We don't need mamsy-pamsy Christianity. We don't need sissy Christians. I'm going to encourage myself. I'll be right back. Praise the Lord. Amen, Pastor. Woo! We don't need sissy Christians. We need people that are going to have some backbone. People that will stand up with grace and integrity and righteousness and truth. We need fathers that will stand up and hold the line, raise the bar. Men, women of God. Jesus is talking about these relationships. Gosh, on the job, some of you have pressure to go to the happy hour on Friday or every day. Don't you cave in. It could be that you, as you stand your ground, that you're going to see people come to the Lord. There's nothing more important than your relationship with Jesus. I might as well pick on marriages. You say, well, my husband doesn't want me to go to church. So what? My husband doesn't want me to go to church. So what? Could it be as you stand your ground, your husband actually gets saved? You can do it graciously. And honestly, many of the obstacles that I've seen in people that have spouses that are not saved is that the spouse that is saved tries to be the Holy Spirit. You know, God's telling you, you need to go. You know, God this, God that, always God. Oh, it's just so hyper-control, religiosity, and just be like Jesus. Come on, just be like Jesus to your spouse. Men, husbands, if you're saved, your wife's not saved, you know, just stuff $50 bills all over your body and just say, chase me, and you can have them all. Minister to her, bless her, give her money, take her shopping. Quit quit pointing your finger at her and tell her how she ungodly she is. Love her like Christ loved the church. You know, no one can resist the love of God. You see, that was random. I know, praise the Lord. All right, look, what about this part? Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says that they'll be taken. What does that mean? It's a reference to what's called the catching away. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and our left will be caught up. Everybody say caught up. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That is called the rapture. You'll not find rapture in this verse here. But you see the caught up or the catching away. Rapture is not in there. It's not in Scripture. And so they will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, always encourage one another with these words. Jesus describes a very similar scene. You need to turn there. Matthew chapter 24, verse 31. And it reads, and He will send His angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will together with His elect, they will gather His elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. There's this great catching away. You say, when is that? I have no idea. I just know we want to be ready. You need to be prepared. Come on, somebody say you got to be prepared. Say, why would you be bringing this message on Father's Day? Because I have found this. As goes the head of the house, so goes the house. And if you're not ready, how can you expect your family to be ready? We need to be ready. So ask yourself, are you ready? The last verse of the text that we read in Luke 17. It says, wherever there is the body, there will be eagles gathered together. The picture is, wherever there is dead, it says in the NIV, there will be vultures that are gathered. There's going to be this catching away, and those who are spiritually dead, then comes judgment. That's the picture of the vultures. I don't have this all figured out, but I know this. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. All the days of our life, we're going to be prepared. We're going to be ready. Can you say amen? Would you stand up on your feet? Kind of a heavy word for Father's Day. But when you look at the statistics of how 85% of the men that are in prison came from fatherless homes. 85%. You look at a nation that's fatherless, it's really brought a plague on our country. I just believe that even from this house, that there are those who are rising to be good, godly fathers. To be men of God that'll lead their families. And of course, women of God. Let's be prepared. Let's do our very best to live for God with all our heart, with all our mind, our soul, and our strength. Can you say amen this morning? With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're not right with God, as we bring this service to a close on this Father's Day, whether you be a father or a mother, no matter what age you are, if you're not right with God, I implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled unto Him. Receive Him. Repent of your sin. Ask Jesus into your heart to be your Lord, to be your Savior. If that's you, you want to get right with God, just slip your hand up right now. perhaps online. Let's affirm our faith together. Say, dear Jesus, thank you for dying in my place. Thank you for rising again from the grave for me. Forgive me of all of my sin. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Wash me and cleanse me. Make me new. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Come on, lift your hands as a sign of surrender to God. Holy Spirit, come and touch. Heal, strengthen, even deliver. I pray, Lord, for those who have wounds, Lord, even in their lives from things that our fathers did or from things that we did as fathers. I pray that you would heal those wounds and that we, Lord, would come fully in with all our hearts, Lord, to serve you, to live for you. Not only to be prepared individually, but to be prepared corporately as families. And that we would impact, Lord, our community. We'd be ready. We would live as your second coming could be at any moment. And we would prepare like you weren't even coming in our lifetime. We would prepare even an inheritance to our children's children. And so God, we thank you and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you take someone by the hand all across this place? I hope you got something from the Lord this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering your people. Now bless them, I ask and pray. Cause your face to shine upon them. Lift up your countenance towards them. Be gracious to them. Keep them and give them peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. We'll hope to see you tonight. Pastor David Allen, Heidi's dad's going to be preaching. Don't miss tonight if you can come. We love you. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to King's Chapel, Alaska and Pastor Daniel Bracken. Our passion is making disciples of Jesus Christ who fulfill God's life call and help us to be the personal, powerful, and permeating church God's called us to be. Get in touch with us anytime at 907-357-2065, 907-357-2065, or online at kcalaska.com, kcalaska.com. Friend us on Facebook and follow Pastor Daniel's tweets at Alaska Revival.